Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm Eric Hessing.
Eric, welcome back to the show, man.
What's going on?
Hey, man. We're just trying to give Cyclone Nation something to listen to while we relax on our bye week and watch stress-free football, man. Now we're gonna recap a little bit, way back to August.
Can I just interrupt real quick?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, ahead. Tyler. I don't mean to mess up your flow. My Indiana Hoosiers,
bro,
are 8-0, baby.
Dog, that is insane, man.
Now, I say that like my brother and sister went to Indiana. My whole family's in Indiana right now. They're all watching the game. They're going crazy. They went to go see College Game Day. Indiana's never been like this before. Everybody's texting going that pick six is the greatest play in Indiana football history. This is the greatest team. They're saying this is the greatest college football team ever. They can beat the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. Do I believe that? No. But they're 8-0. All my teams are undefeated.
Unreal, man. Man.
What did I do to deserve this?
Hey, the Lord must be smiling down on you, man.
Oh, man. And you know what? You know what, Tyler? I know you were getting to this about, you know, talking about what we were talking about in August, our predictions. I had a 7-0 up to this point. I had the Cyclone 7-0. I picked us to lose to Texas Tech. We're not going to talk about that today. But it's all playing out, baby. It's all playing out. The dreams are playing out.
The dreams are playing out, man. Every time we, you know, do like a season preview show, we are always usually the show that's usually very, very, very optimistic. I'd rather be very optimistic than realist because, like you said, realists don't have fun. And the fact that we're actually 7-0 is absolutely awesome.
That's why we live in Iowa. We're always optimistic.
Right.
It's been a fun season. And you know what? The way that it's played out, the Team of Destiny style, the way it's played out, you know, last second kick against Iowa, marching down the field, saying, I don't care that we played like garbage most of the game. We're going to come and we're going to punch you in the mouth. And Rocco Beck punched UCF in the mouth. I see people tweeting at the UCF game how their stadium's empty. Iowa State is creating empty stadiums.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm talking about. And I'm fired up. Obviously, there's that little bit of like, oh man, I don't want this ride to stop. Is there going to be a time where it does? No, I just don't want. I don't want to get off this train. But I'm not going to be that guy who says enjoy it, enjoy the moment. These are glory days. No, we're here to stay.
Right.
I want 20 years of this or more.
No, right. No. We got to talk about this. Really. Enjoy it because. This is only going to be like a one-time. It ain't going to be a one-time thing.
Raise the expectations.
Yes, raise your expectations, fan base. Like, nah, bro, it ain't going to be. This is not going to be a one-off. This is going to be an every-year thing. Maybe not being undefeated, but being at the top of the league, bro. Like, I know we've been hurt before, but nah, we need to get better as a fan base. Get behind this team. Like they play for you, man. Come on, man.
Don't have that 6-6 broke boy mentality. Yes, if we go 6-6, enjoy the season. If you want to go to that bowl game, enjoy the ride, every part of the ride, even the suffering parts, because it makes these moments even sweeter. But got to have the expectations of, yes, this team can do it. They've already done it. When people are leaving, man, I could go off on this a long time, and I won't today. But I was standing there watching all these people leave that UCF game, and I'm just looking at these guys like, did you not see Iowa City and what happened there?
Right.
And we had 34 seconds left on the clock, and we won. And you're going to leave on this, you're gonna quit on this team. The team didn't quit. The team didn't quit, and the team will never quit. And that's the special part about this team. They probably don't have the talent that the 2021 team had, but they have the fight.
Right, they have the fight, man. That's all that matters. Knowing, and then one of the things that I love hearing is that Jalen Knowles said that they are desperate. They are desperate to have success at a school like Iowa State. When you hear a player say that they're desperate, man, you know that they want it badly. They want it as bad. They want it as bad as we do. Like, so that's what I mean, if there were any other reason for you not to have confidence in this team, like when a team is desperate to have success, that is when you need to fully go in 100%, like full go, no matter what other rival fan bases say.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we can even merge into a little bit of a recruiting topic here. It's kind of something that I thought about with watching the Indiana games this year, especially today and, you know, last week, and just following them, this Iowa State team and other teams that are having significant success. The transfer portal and the way that it's managed has been really, it's really helped certain teams and really hurt other teams. Where what I like that Indiana's doing and Iowa State is doing is they're bringing in transfers who are multi-year starters at probably lower-level programs, like, you know, either your Stony Brooks or your Eastern Kentuckys, like where Jaden Higgins from, guys who had 2 years, 1 or 2 years of good, consistent success. They're hard workers. It's allowing those guys to elevate their game at a Power 5 program. We've seen this with, obviously, Jaden Higgins. We've seen it with Jalen Jackson. We're seeing it with other guys in other spots of the field, kickers, things like that. The whole Indiana team is like this, where that's what I really like the transfer portal for. That's where I think that the Iowa State coaches are finding a niche. You've seen it in basketball, too, with all the transfer that we get in basketball, where we're finding pieces that elevate the team and elevate the culture. And when you find guys like that to bring into your program who are going to impact you both on the stat sheet and in the locker room, that's when you can have special seasons like this. That's when you win the UCF game, when you're just chucking it to the other team.
And I do have one thing to add. I feel like for the transfer portal, like, I think the transfer portal really, really shows, like, if you really are a good developer of talent, I think you use the transfer portal for you to basically incorporate more depth into your roster or find more guys that, you know, that you sort of have a weakness in. That's what it's used for. But I feel like if you portal a whole team like Ole Miss or like Florida State does, you're going to get the results like they do. Like, now, Ole Miss has two losses before we even get to November. Florida State's 1-6. So, like, the portal giveth, and sometimes the portal taketh away. So, like,
You look at this Iowa team, man.
Ugh.
And they go, oh, we need a quarterback. Let's go give Cade McNamara all this money and just bribe him to come here.
Right.
What are you doing? Indiana went out and they got Curtis Rourke, and they, you know, they probably spent a little bit on him, but he was a winner. I mean, he beat us. He was at the Ohio quarterback. He beat us, player of the year in the MAC, all that stuff. He's a winner, and he's not begging for millions, but he's a proven culture winner. Iowa goes out and gets Cade Proctor. But they go out and they get, you know, Mr. World Beater type of guy, amazing guy who just decides, okay, Nick Saban's gone, I need to go look at my options. And they probably spent a fortune to bring him in. And I don't know, maybe he would have worked, but like, it's just like, if you would have gone out and got two or three really good culture linemen that would have stuck around, guys from like a Charlotte or a James Madison that would have stuck around, you could have had a really good team. Now, I do think that their offensive line is really good, and possibly a lot of a factor for Caleb Johnson's success. I mean, they were really good against us. But if they went out and got some, like a bunch of pieces, they would probably be right there to be a 7-1 team or maybe even undefeated. I don't want to say that, but they might be. I'm glad that they didn't, but they might have been undefeated. But that's the very interesting thing about the transfer portal, because you can bring in guys who elevate not only your team on the field, but your team off the field in the locker room with the culture.
Right.
There's nobody out. Nobody's really transferred yet. Nobody worth it has transferred yet, because they're all still playing on their teams. So, but we'll get to that later on in December and figure that all out. But yeah. So
yeah. So like, I mean, is there anybody or any late pickups that you saw? Because one of the guys I want to talk about is that receiver from Yorkville. That man, I watched his tape, man. That dude is tall. He has size. He has separation. That's what I like to see in a receiver.
Yeah. So, talking about the 2025 class, the current class that we're on right now, we have a couple more guys that we're looking at, really strongly looking at. One of them would be Kamori Moore. Mm-hmm. He is from Lee Summit North in Missouri. He was committed to Oklahoma. He decommitted from Oklahoma, and now he's looking to go either to Iowa State or Nebraska. Defensive tackle, like about 6'1", 290 pounds. We've seen this year how very important it is to have a strong interior defensive line in guys like J.R. Singleton, Dominic Orange. I mean, even Zamir Hawk has been a dog. For
sure
us.
Has, man.
That's why we're winning these games, is because our defensive line is so stout. So stout. And Kamori Moore can just elevate it. He's a borderline four-star player. Would be a really good player for us to come in. High pedigree guy. And, you know, he had a visit. He visited for the UCF game. I mean, what a game. We'll talk about that more for the recruiting purposes. But what a game to come to. You saw a team that fights, and luckily he was able to witness that, and he's kind of the main guy right now. We have another guy, Theo Thomas, who's currently committed to UNI. He's from up in, I think, in the Minneapolis area, another defensive lineman, big guy, interior defensive lineman. We're also taking a look at him. He has an offer. And then the last guy, who we offered just a couple days ago, for all you guys who like the measurables, this guy might be your favorite. I believe you say his name, Sione Perkins, offensive tackle, 6'9", Tyler.
Wow.
6'9", 300 pounds. He's up in Idaho, I believe. This is his first Power 4 offer. I got to get used to saying Power 4. Power 4 offer. Really good player, really special player, can move around a lot. We only have one offensive lineman currently committed to this class, Will Tompkins. Will Tompkins, we'll get into him later. We might talk about him on the signing day special. But Will Tompkins, man. Will Tompkins. Just remember that name. He's currently committed to Iowa State. But yeah, Sione Perkins would be the second offensive lineman committed to the class if he were to decide to commit. But I wouldn't be surprised to see if he comes on a visit to one of the next few games. Something that I wanted to talk about really quick, Tyler, is I went on some game day or high school game watches and stuff. You know, it's something I like to do on Friday nights. Go to a bunch of football games during the year. Check out some guys and, you know, really kind of just feel the, you know, I don't know. It's good to be part of the community. So I'll tell you, man, the first game, one of the first games I went to was the a Valley game against Dowling. And there's two guys that I was going to see in particular, but I thought it was just a really, really good game. I really like a lot of these matchups. And Xavier Robinson, who's currently committed to Iowa State in the 2025 class at receiver. And Jaden McGregory, who's a 2026 guy, four-star guy. And shoot, there are two athletes right there. Very rare for the state of Iowa to have two athletes like that, especially two guys on the same team. And both guys who they can be as good as they want to be. I think Xavier Robinson could be a really, really special piece for Iowa State. Yeah, if you think about like a, I wouldn't really say a Jalen Knoll, but he could give you that quality where, you know, he's probably not that big body red zone threat that, you know, Jaden Higgins is.
Right.
But he can make plays, man. When he's on his game, he's on. And it's something really special to see. I remember watching him in the high school championship game where Abu Samo just ran wild. And he was really good in that game, too. So we're getting one really, really high caliber wide receiver, really talented wide receiver. And Jaden McGregory, who's going on visits. I think Jaden McGregory was here for the UCF game. He's been several times. He's also looking at, I mean, any team in the Midwest, they all want Jaden McGregory. So that will be something that comes down to it. Another game that I went to go see Will Hawthorne and Gilbert take on Boone. I mean,
Will Hawthorne, man. I swear, every single time I look on that page, I'm like, golly, he is an athlete, bro.
Like, I go to these games, and I'm expecting, like, okay, they're not going to be that Paul Bunyan, Bo Jackson, like, Barry Sanders type guy where every play they're just breaking it. You sometimes think, like, why are they not, like, running for touchdowns every play? Aren't they amazing? Right. It's not really like that. Like, the other team is going to scheme away from them and be like, hey, we're going to scheme away from them because we know that they're amazing.
Right.
Will Hawthorne, dude, I kind of want him at fullback. He's not going to be a fullback. He's going to be a linebacker. But good night. There was one play that he got an illegal participation on him. Do you know what illegal participation is, Tyler? What do you think illegal participation
is? Jeez. Probably was. I have a feeling that he probably was just being unfair on both sides of the ball. He's way too good.
Well, that did happen, but that is legal. Illegal participation is when somebody rips your helmet off, and you're still running, and you don't stop, and they throw a flag. I don't like getting flags, but I like a guy who's a dog. And right. They ran him all freaking game. He barely took any breaks. But there's something that I see in him that's a lot like Bo Freeler and some of the other guys that we've had, David Montgomery, where it's like, there's no quit. And that, I don't care how athletically gifted you are. If you have the no quit mentality with the athletic traits, the talent, you're going to be a special player. I saw this in Bo Goodwin. I saw this in Cale Brezina. I mean, just two guys who've been playing a lot this year.
Right.
You saw it in Bo Freeler. You saw it in, you know, guys like that. And get ready. Just buckle up. He's just a freaking dog. I went to go see another game up in Algona. Algona has a great stadium. I got there. I'm like, this is I can't remember what class they're in, but
it was like a hillside, right?
I was like, they got a hillside. They got like a patio with a restaurant thing. I'm like, this is a high school stadium in rural North Iowa? This is great. Oh, right. I could have, yeah. But I saw a bunch of guys there for that game. Alex Mansky, he had a good game. It was kind of a weird game, so he didn't really get many chances.
Yeah.
They won the game, and Jack Limbaugh's a freaking stud. Just running around the field the entire game. He's going to be a good one. He has the athletic traits that we've been coveting for a long time as well. Like, think about like a Zach Peterson or even a Joey Peterson, but with just a level higher with their athleticism. That's kind of what Jack Limbaugh reminds me of. So we're getting the dog coming. And
man.
Yeah, I'm excited about this class. I think that we have some really good players. It's a smaller class this year, but I think we have some really, really good underrated players that we kind of just found diamonds in the rough, like Ethan Stecker. I mean, I don't know how he's a diamond in the rough, but Trey Verdon, Malik's brother. Right.
Malik's brother, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we'll get more into that class. come closer to signing day when these guys, you know, they sign on the dotted line, their final rankings come out, we get more guys to commit. And we'll kind of talk about that later, but I kind of want to give a preview as well to the 2026 guys, because now that we're kind of wrapping up the 2025 class, kind of want to throw some names out there of guys that I think are just really special and guys to keep an eye on. And the first guy, Tyler, there comes a time where I just get shocked by, like, how did we find this kid? This guy, when we came to him, he didn't have any offers. When we found him, he didn't have any offers. This was his first year of, like, really playing varsity football. He's had a breakout season. His name's Faber Aki.
Man.
This guy's insane, dude.
Bro, his tape is so impressive, man. I was taken aback, man. His tape is unbelievable.
He looks a lot like Breece Hall.
Man.
He looks a lot like Breece Hall. And you could say that, like, you could throw that out about a lot of guys and just be like, oh, he looks a lot like Breece Hall. For guys who, like, they can catch the ball, they run hard, and they do all that. Like, no. But I'm just saying, with the way that he runs, the way that he cuts, the way that he can see the hole, and how hard he plays, he looks spitting image of Breece Hall.
Jeez.
I mean, I was like, oh, okay. And he was unranked for a couple of weeks. I mean, even after we offered him, he's unranked. I was like, yeah, you know. I'm curious about to see what he's ranked. I was thinking, Tyler, that he was going to be like, I don't know, like an 85, 86 on the sites, like a mid 3-star guy. I was thinking they were going to throw that on him. No, on 3 gave him a 4-star. And I was like, wow, they actually got it right.
Right.
They actually got it right. I think he's like a little higher than that. But I was like, geez, 4-star guy. And since then, Michigan State has come in and offered. I know he's gone on a couple more visits. He came to the Baylor game. And that's when he got offered. Really? Another great game to come and watch. But I think, like, he's – if we're talking about, like, priority targets for the class, he's top 5. He's top 5. He's definitely, like, the number 1 running back. He's special, man. He's special. There's a couple more guys that I want to talk about. Hank Brock. There's another guy named Hank Brock. Cash Brock. He's a guy who I really like. Wide receiver down in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He's the half brother of Conrad Holly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I kind of want him for that. And then, but I also, watching his tape, he's the type of wide receiver that we're going for now. Where right. We used to be going after guys who try to, you know, you try to match Hakeem Butler and Alan Lazard. Just big, physical wide receivers that can go up and get the ball. That's kind of what we were recruiting for. We were trying to get for, like, a couple of years after they were gone.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to replicate that. We were trying to replicate the jump ball guy, you know, and get the rebound, all that. I think we figured out that's really hard to find guys who slip through the crack and with that mold. Those right. guys usually go to Georgia. Those guys usually go to Texas. We see those guys all the time go to those schools. Noah Pauley coming in has kind of, like, changed things around. We're looking for guys that can get separation. We're looking for guys who are very athletic and can have really good body control. And that's what Cash Brock can do really, really well. I think he's one of the top priorities for wide receiver. And with that family tie, it would just make it even more special. We got a bunch of offensive linemen coming in, taking visits. Hudson Parliament, he's down at Bama this week, taking a look at Bama. We also got guys like Mason Bandauer, who's now committed to Iowa State. He's related. He's the son of Todd Bandauer, former quarterback for Iowa State. Really, really good offensive tackle prospect. That was a really, really special way to kick off the class. And so, yeah, those are just a couple of names that I have for you. And I'm really excited because this season, Tyler, 7-0, hopes for 8-0, hopes for conference title, hopes for all that. Continuing on that, with every week that goes by that we win, is going to make next year's class even more special because people are going to buy in. They're going to say, "I want that. I can't wait, dude."
Eric, thank you for coming on today. I'm really, really excited, especially just looking forward to December for our, like Eric said, our signing day our Believe in Iowa State signing day spectacular. So
what do you think is going to happen for the rest of the season?
As you know, if you don't follow me on Twitter, Believe in Iowa State listeners, I am all in on this team. So my prediction.
Well, I hope so.
My hot take, I don't think this is really hot of a take, but I have us winning the rest of our games. So I have
How many of the rest of our games?
The rest of regular season we're going 12-0. We're going 12-0.
What about 13-0?
We're winning
13-0.
13-0.
We're going 13-0?
13-0.
That's what I'm talking about.
College football playoff.
If you were to say today, who are we playing in that game?
In the college football playoff semis?
Not the college football play. I'm talking about the Arlington.
Oh, in the championship game.
Yeah.
Who are we playing? Well, since it's gonna be so my prediction, we're gonna get two teams in, so we're gonna play an undefeated BYU. So I don't think that BYU loses. BYU makes it through. Iowa State, BYU, we win the Big 12. BYU also makes it into the playoff. Big 12 gets two teams in.
Yeah, BYU. I'm standing at UCF right now, so that game just started. Yeah. But, you know, just got to check out the scores here. So, yeah.
What are your thoughts? I mean, to be fair, Eric, you said that we were going to go through the regular season 12-0.
No. You said I had us losing to Texas Tech.
Yeah, you did. 11-1.
Texas Tech. I don't want us to lose to Texas Tech, but that's what I predicted. We were going 11-1, and I said we were going to play Oklahoma State, but that's not happening. That is not happening. Holy cow!
I said K-State.
We could talk about the conundrum. Let me answer it first, and then we could talk about for a couple minutes, and then we could see if we want to do a whole podcast on the topic. But I think that we will go. We only have one loss in us.
Mm-hmm.
For the regular season. If we lose, it's going to be one game. We're not losing more than once. I think we're going 12-0, dude.
Yeah.
I think we're going 12-0. And if we get down to Arlington 12-0, we're winning that thing.
We're winning it, bro.
You and me, we're going to Arrowhead. We're not losing there.
We ain't losing to
Texas Tech. Texas Tech ain't play no defense.
Tech don't play defense. We'll beat them.
And I'm worried. I'm concerned. I mean, I'd say worried. Concerned about Cincinnati.
Cincinnati will be a challenge because Tyson Veit is the defensive coordinator. So Tyson Veit knows our personnel very well.
It's a challenge because it's a long season.
Right, right.
And you just wonder, like, we look at Cincinnati, we drubbed them last year. Do we have the mental fortitude and focus to just get over that hump? Just put them away. Put them away. Get out. Mm-hmm. They don't have the athletes that UCF does.
Right.
But I think they have, you know, better preparation. Let me just put it that way. They don't have the debacle in the locker room as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'll have us going 13-0. Why not? Dream season. Let's do it. And then, you know, I think we go to the playoff. And it really just depends on matchup. I don't know if we win or whatnot. It really will depend on the matchup at that point.
I mean, I feel like at that point, like, if we're 13-0, for me, at least, we're playing with house money. Because at that point, it's like, I will be happy even if we lose. Be like, the fact that we made it to a playoff and won the conference title, like, is amazing. And then just to be in the fact for us to finally you know, have one of these prediction shows in the offseason and it actually come to fruition. Like, it's absolutely amazing, man. Just I'm ready for this ride to continue, man, and see what this team is made of. Just like every week, bro, like, it's just like, okay, we gonna win this. And I'm like, and just it's fun to watch.
Can I pose a question to you?
Sure.
And this is totally different than the predictions and all that. So with the way that college football is going right now,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that Oklahoma will be looking for a coach. Now stay with me. Yeah. So I got a lot to add. Oklahoma will be looking for a coach. Florida will be looking for a coach. Florida State, they might get crazy. Florida State might get crazy. I don't think they will. I don't think they'll fire Mike Norvell, but they might. I will say that USC, they lose a couple more, they're going to lose Notre Dame. If they lose like a couple more, they could say, Lincoln Riley, your time is up. They didn't do well last year. Mm-hmm. They might get sick of him. You know, there's three blue bloods, maybe possibly four blue bloods. You might even throw Michigan in there. They might say this guy, all right, guy, hit the bricks. You're the fall. You were the fall guy. We might have several blue bloods open. And no, this is not going to be a Matt Campbell thing. No. So if you're thinking that's what that's going to be, no. This ain't going to be a Matt Campbell. This is what this is about. Mike Gundy might say, all right, it's time to hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Ferentz, he loses one more game, they're showing him the door. They're showing him the door.
Yep.
Kyle Whittingham. Huh? Your offensive coordinator resigns? Forfeits his buyout?
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham might say, sayonara. My question, who the heck are these teams going to hire? And don't tell me Chris Klieman. That ain't happening.
Nah, Chris Klieman, because I heard like Chris Klieman to Florida. No.
Chris Klieman ain't going nowhere. He's winning at Kansas State.
He's winning at Kansas State. He won a Big 12 title there. They
paid him. And it would be difficult for him to leave laterally to like an Iowa.
Well, right.
I mean, if USC backed up the Brinks truck, then I could see that. But they're probably going to go after Deion. Let's be real.
USC is going to go after Deion, make a flashy hire like they always do. And like, you got to think about this. Like, if any of these Big 12 coaches leave for an opportunity elsewhere, what you got to know is that the expectations are going to be higher. So there's no more going 9-3 and thinking that that's good enough at these schools. Mm-hmm. Like, and the fact that you're in a conference like this where you're punching at your own weight and you still have a chance to get a playoff spot, like, why would you leave that?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, it's probably going to – the two flashy names are going to be, unfortunately, Coach Cignetti
mm-hmm.
and Deion.
Right.
But there's going to be a couple blue bloods open where those guys jump to. And Coach Cignetti might go, I'll stay here for another year, you know, and see what comes open or whatnot. And he's trying to – who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with him? But you're going to have Iowa people when they fire that guy, when they fire Kirk. You're going to have Iowa people saying, let's go after Chris Klieman. He ain't taking that job.
He's not going to Iowa, bro.
They're
going to
say, oh, let's get Cignetti. He ain't taking that job.
He's not taking that job.
And Iowa is the same as Utah, is the same as Oklahoma State. Like, those are similar programs.
Mm-hmm.
Who's out there to hire? Who's out there? You watch Iowa. Iowa is going to get some sorry NFL defensive coordinator. They're going to get rid of their entire coaching staff. They're going to get rid of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to gut the program. It's going to happen.
Clean house,
and they're going to realize that they are no different than a Utah, that they are no different than an Oklahoma State, and they're number two in the state of Iowa now.
Right.
Because a lot of all these kids in the state of Iowa grew up and they said, I want to go play for Kirk Ferentz. He's been there longer than I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone. And they bring in somebody who doesn't know the program. This is going to happen. Who's out there? Now that all these other how'd Ole Miss do today? Did they win? I think they did.
I think they did, yeah.
But they ain't thrilled with Lane Kiffin.
Right.
It's, let's go get Brett Bielema. Brett Bielema is at Illinois. You think right. you're a big step up from Illinois?
That's what I'm saying. Illinois is
actually, look in the mirror. Right.
I don't see why you would do a lateral move to another conference opponent, but I mean that's just me. But it doesn't. Like a lot of these moves, Eric, like are going to be lateral moves to different other conference foes.
Yeah,
and it literally makes no sense. Like
it makes no sense.
The rumors that Lane Kiffin would be interested in the Florida job. I'm like the only way. I'm like, if anything, like Billy Napier with Florida, like Florida hasn't fully given up on that team. I thought for sure they'd be throwing in the towel, but I mean they've shown fight and now they're 4-3. So like he might get another chance and maybe saved his job. So like I have a feeling that some of these teams are in dire straits, but I feel like with Deion. With Deion, you really, really gotta like wonder, like, is he really gonna be there just for his kids, or does he actually really want to coach? Because if you really want to coach, I mean, the best move for you is to be in the Big 12 with a chance to actually go to the playoff. That's your best chance of making it to the playoff. I mean,
well, right. I think for Deion, he thinks that he wants to win at the highest level and win national titles, and I think. USC would just because Deion can recruit.
He sure can.
And they would back up the Brinks truck for him. They would say, sure, you need a quarterback, we'll buy one for you.
Yep.
Yeah, like unlimited resources at that'd USC.
That'd be a perfect
They game. Tried to do that with Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley, it's not working, dude. How do you lose to Maryland, dude?
Maryland and just like you lose to Minnesota too, like come on.
Just think about those Pete Carroll teams with the dogs on that those teams. Oh yeah, you guys will lose to Maryland.
Yeah, what?
That ain't happening.
That ain't.
Yeah, you guys will. You know, it'll be closer than the experts think against Rutgers.
Right, Rutgers.
Yeah, so I'm very intrigued about how this is going to all play out because there's going to be legends leaving. I mean, who? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, who was the coach at Utah before Kyle Whittingham?
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer. I don't even know who was before Mike Gundy.
Les Miles.
Les Miles was at LSU in the 2000s,
mm-hmm.
and then he coached at Kansas for a little bit.
Right.
And now who knows where he is? I don't know where he is. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, Les Miles. Yeah, Les Miles, dude.
Jeez.
It's crazy, man. Like, college football every single year, especially in this NIL era, you're going to see more and more legends leave. I feel like, the college coaching game is going to start becoming a young man's game. So, I mean, it's really about how well you can relate to these guys.
It's going to become the team builders game.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah.
The new school of team builders where they go, I don't care where you came from. I don't care that you came from, Mercer. If you were a dog at Mercer and you were consistent, get on my team.
Yep.
We'll see what you can do. The top four running backs at Indiana are all like fifth-year senior transfers.
Yep.
Who were dogs at their old school. And they're dogs now. I mean, Jalen Jackson, dog. Jalen Jackson won us the Baylor game.
Right, and he's from the MAC. So, like, I mean.
He's from Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar. He went
from Lamar to the MAC and now to Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good season.
It's going to be a good season.
And let's go 13-0.
Let's go 13-0, man. Hey, and Eric, thank you for coming on today.
Oh, yeah.
This was a great. Great episode. I'm excited to have you on again in December, man. And just really, really just talk about at that time, hopefully a conference title and hey, hopefully we're still undefeated and getting ready to talk for a playoff game. But yeah, that's all we have for you today. Thank you for joining us. A few little things as we always do. If you wanna find us, both of us, on Twitter. For me, I'm at SciTie Guy. Eric is at Sci Lights. I'm sure you've seen Eric on there, so he is silenced. I'm Matt Sci-Tie Guy. And
I'm not guy who types in all caps.
Yes. Come and play yells football at everything. At Iowa State. Yes, that they
dog. That
dog.
Baller.
Yeah, baller. Yeah, he's that guy.
This guy is a freaking dog. But I mean it. I mean everything I say. None he of those does. Are lies.
He does.
None of those are lies.
It was. It's all true. It's all true, man.
Yep.
And don't forget to add us on our social media pages. I will list them all for you. Believe in Iowa State. BLEAV at Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok.
How could you not believe in Iowa State?
Right. How couldn't you believe in Iowa State? Why aren't you believing in Iowa State?
This team believed. The team fought. And that is why they won.
And that
those
is
fans
why,
that left didn't believe.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't believe, but
you and I stayed. Know? I stayed in my seat.
Yes.
Watching the game. Because I knew that this team fought before. They're going to fight now.
Well, you get the fight song. Oh, we will fight, fight, fight for Iowa State. Like,
we will
come on,
fight,
man.
Fight, fight for Iowa State. Not, oh, we will leave when the chips are down. No.
Nah.
We will fight, fight, fight for Iowa State. Let's go, dude.
Let's
I
go.
Love bye weeks.
I love bye weeks. My optimism is at an all-time high. And don't forget to join us on
the old saying, Tyler, is you can't lose on a bye week. Let's not talk about that.
Let's not talk about that.
Let's say we're preparing to win in the bye
yeah,
week.
We're preparing to win in the bye week.
Let everybody else lose in the bye week.
Right. Watch stress-free football and, we will join you next week on Wednesday to break down the
Texas. I'm fired up.
Let's go. Right. Let's get to
8-0. All right, let's go
8-0. Yeah, let's go. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones.